The title I've given my message today is quite fitting, I might say, for the time of the year, the time that we are in right now, concerning the Olympiad that has taken place. Now, this week I'm going to do part one, and then next week I'll follow up with the conclusion of part two. So if you bear with me, I do believe you'll get a blessing, and you'll see how what we do in the name of God can apply and does apply to how we live, not only how we live, but how we participate in our lives. So I've called it Olympians for Christ. Olympians for Christ. Now, if you were to turn in your King James Bible to Matthew 19, verse 30, there's just one verse there I'd like to read to start us off. That's Matthew 19, verse 30, which reads, "But many that are first shall be last, and the last shall be first. Many that are first shall be last, and the last shall be first." Now, this may not apply directly to the Olympics, but it applies directly in the eyes of God. Now, if you're truly a born-again Christian, hear me out anyway. Hear me out and erase any doubt to what I just said from Matthew 19:30. Any doubt? Are you saved? Are you? Are you a born-again believer? Can you honestly say without any doubt in your mind, in your heart, that you're a born-again believer? Can you truthfully say yes? Well, if you can, then I sincerely believe you are saved. If not, then the other side of the coin, as they say, you're on your way to a fiery hell. Make no mistake about it. Normally, I would be a little more tactful. However, I think the age of being tactful is fast, fast off in the distance. Now, it's a matter of life and death. It really is. Tactful will really just take you to hell. And you don't want to go there. No, you don't. The Word of God tells us that many are called, but few are chosen. Many are called, but few are chosen. I've often wondered, how many is many? And how few is few? What does this actually mean? Well, let's say that there are, 1,000 people in your church, or 100 people, or 50. Okay, where two or three are gathered in His name, where two or three are gathered. Wow. All profess to be saved, though. That sounds great, doesn't it? Must be music to the pastor's ears when his congregation are truly walking with the Lord. Yes. Trouble is, that which is music to the pastor's ears, well, it may be grinding at the bit on God's ears. Pastor, I charge you, by the best of your God-giving anointing, to seek out and ascertain those who are professors and not possessors of God's holy word as it pertains to salvation. Grunt and groan, if you will, your congregation is your responsibility. Your congregation is your responsibility. Now, I'm not talking about maintaining them that they walk circumspectly. I'm talking about discipleship. I'm talking about visitation and observation. And don't hand me this, that you don't have the time. If you are truly chosen, a chosen vessel of God to be a pastor, then you must make the time. You must make the time. Get out there in the pastures, Pastor, and see for yourself if there are goats mixed in with the sheep. Are there? Oh, yes. Now, you say you don't have the time because you have to hold down another job to make ends meet. Wow. Well, unfortunately, that's the situation with many pastors. But are you forgetting who your boss really is, and his power? Oh, Or are you a little bit leery about that? Maybe you have two masters.
Ooh,
that's rubbing you the wrong way, isn't it? What about your deacons and elders and, well, that's their job also, isn't it? If they can't perform the service, then fire them. Fire them. They are no godly good except to shake hands and pass out church agendas and prayer lists and tell people where to sit. You say, now, hold on there, preacher, just hold on there. Who do you think you are? Well, just another sinner saved by grace. That's who I am. That's who I am. Now, I realize I'm being somewhat abrupt. And if that bothers you, well, I could say I'm sorry. But I'd rather be abrupt than see maybe 80% of your congregation go to hell because their church let them down. Oh, yes. You say, well, maybe you're right, and I'm sorry for that, but there's no way I can provide for my family unless I hold down a second job. Dear pastor, if that's your answer, then you don't deserve to be a pastor, and God never called you. Remember, whom God calls, he also keeps. I refer to the Mueller effect, which I will mention later on. Pastor, please understand. I'm not implying that you have to babysit new converts or spy on them to make sure that they're truly saved. No, 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 no. The final decision is, of course, that of the individual to work it out. Of course it is. A lot of trouble in some of the churches today is breaking away into various prayer groups, as they call it, at the end of the regular Wednesday night or Sunday night service. Now, why is that? I mean, not that there's anything wrong with it. Well, why is it, though? Well, because the left hand doesn't know what the right hand is really doing. People tend to lay back or either not pray at all, or else they add to the repetition of others. When God's people are asked to pray at the end of a service, then it is more expedient, more encouraging, and more uplifting that all should hear and be blessed. The whispering in the corner, well, that only encourages the sheepish prayer warrior to withhold their most inner needs and their problems to a confined assembly when the entire church should be reaching out to the Lord on their behalf. Yes, on their behalf. And may I say, I will never pray for an unspoken prayer request. No, never. We are either all in the family of God or we're not. Did you not hear about the parent who was so upset about his child's contemptible behavior that her greatest prayer was that God would take him out? Wow, that's pretty serious stuff. And she wasn't even saved. This, my friends, was her unspoken prayer request. Oh, pray for it. Wow. There, I said it, and now I'll get on with the rest of the message. Okay. So, why are approximately 80%, that's a figure I'm throwing out there, of the church occupants, why are they outside the ark of safety? Now, that might sound like a high number, but you might be surprised in some churches. Well, aside from what I have already alluded to, two things come to mind. One, when God called them, they didn't respond. How many of you know that you must be called by God before you can come to Jesus? How many? Oh, yes. John 6:44 makes this very plain in the words of Jesus Christ. Listen up now. No man can come to me except the Father which hath sent me. Draw them. Draw him. And I will raise him up at the last day. Pretty conclusive, isn't it? What did I say before? When you pray, pray to God the Father, right? In Luke 11, verse 2, Jesus says, when ye pray, say, you ready? When ye pray, say, our Father. He didn't say, pray to himself, our Jesus. Jesus always gives the Father the preeminence, always. Yes, the Father and the Son are one, but the Son is showing always, always respect for his Father, the great Jehovah Jireh. The ultimate respect, I might add. In whose name? We pray in Jesus' name, but we pray to God the Father. Every once in a while, especially among some of the brethren, you'll hear them pray directly to Jesus. And then, as they close, they will finish up by saying, in your name. But God the Father is exempt from the prayer. They say, well, if you're praying to Jesus, you're praying to the Father. Well, we know God the Father and God the Son are actually one, but we are also told by Jesus himself, whatever you ask of the Father, ask in my name and I will give it to you, right? Okay. God, the Godhead, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, right? Of course. Now, I'm not saying that you can't have a prayer time talking to Jesus. No. After all, he is our Savior. But don't forget, everything that Jesus said and done while he was on this earth was out of respect for and in obedience to God the Father. God the Father. Why are so many church believers outside the ark of safety? Did you ever ask yourself that? Well, number one, when God called them, they didn't respond. Number two, they never believed. This is very important, but it's true nonetheless. They never believed in a literal hell. Yes, you do have to believe in hell to go to heaven. Oh, yes, you do. You might say, well, I don't think there is a hell. If I don't go to heaven, well, then I'll just stay in the grave. Well, wrong. When I was a Catholic, I believed that the Pope was the vicar of Christ and he could do no wrong. If he said black was white, it was white. If he said it wasn't a sin to smoke, drink, or cuss, or any of that stuff, but only in moderation, then that's what I believed. And when he said that the Catholic Church was the only way to heaven, and everyone else was going to hell or purgatory, that was good enough for me. Old gullible me. Then one day, God drew me to his Son, Jesus the Christ, and I got saved. And I found out that the Pope, and here's a strong accusation, but it's true, the Pope is a liar. And that if I didn't run far away from Catholicism quickly as I could, then I would perish in Catholicism. I would perish. I began to read the Bible, and the truth made me free. What's my point? What's my point? If it weren't for the Father drawing me, well, I wouldn't be on my way to glory. He knows. He knows. Long, long ago, he knows who will come to him and who will not. Many years later, I saw the Pope on TV. And read about him in the newspapers, and what he said I could hardly believe. Are you ready for this? He said that hell, the very hell that Jesus preached against so much and warned us so much about, the Pope said that it was not a real, literal place. but merely a separation from God for a time while you served in purgatory. My friends, God will not be mocked. God will not be mocked. In my life as a Baptist, I would follow the crusades of Billy Graham. I admired him because he preached the gospel. I don't think anybody could argue that. Billy Graham was a friend, are you ready? A friend of the world. Now, that may or may not be good. He dined with presidents and supped with the Pope, but something else he did. He loved the world and denied the true Word of God. Yes, he did. 1 John says, if any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. Billy Graham not only loved the world, but he didn't believe in a literal hell. No, he didn't. The two most prominent religious figures the world has ever known, both at enmity with God. Both at enmity with God. Yet today, both are exalted with high esteem. High esteem. One might say they were Olympians for Christ. But then again, what exactly is an Olympian? Oh, interesting. Firstly, let me say only what's done for Christ will last. Only what's done for Christ will last. Everything else is just wood, hay, stubble. Oh, terrible. My prayer is that all Olympians as well, everywhere, would realize these precious words. Only, here they are, only what's done for Christ will last. Concerned about the gold, the silver, the bronze? Do your best, of course. But only what's done for Christ will last. Everything else, including gold, silver, bronze, is nothing but wood, hay, and stubble in the eyes of God. It is. 1 Timothy 1, verse 11 tells us, he that saith he abideth in him ought himself also to walk, even as he walked. Even as he walked. Now, I know some of you out there are grinding at the bit and moving to the edge of your seat, getting ready to throw something. Well, that's fine. If I didn't sense some measure of persecution, I'd have to wonder about my own salvation. I would. You see, you can't be both an Olympian for Christ and an Olympian for self. No, I ask you, how many Olympians will stand on the podium of worldly achievement and pass their torch over to Jesus Christ? How many? Huh? Or will they just sit at home in our mediocre lifestyle and stare at their achievements on the mantle? Ah, think about it. I know what some of you are thinking right now about now. Where did he come from? Speaking of me, of course. And what's wrong with the Olympics? Huh? Well, I'm glad you asked. And since you did ask, I thank you for that. I thank you that you did, because it means that there are two important questions you don't know the answers to. Firstly, let me give you the shorter answer. Okay? The shorter answer. I came from my mama, but I'm going to heaven. Okay? Sounds reasonable, doesn't it? I'm so glad you asked the second question. What's wrong with the Olympics? You know, I bet that 80% of church souls would ask that very same question. And you know what? I'm going to use my good old King James Bible to answer that very question. Okay. Now, I watch some of the Olympic Winter Games, being somewhat of a sports enthusiast myself. I usually catch all the excitement on the telly, if I so desire. Though I doubt very much, even if I could afford it, I'd actually go to the Olympic site. I don't think so. No. You know where the action is? Right there, front row seat. No. And may I add that I would not leave vacant my church pew so that I might observe a major sports event on television. How many stay home because they want to watch an event concerning their favorite sport, ball game, hockey, what have you? Now, what does the Word of God say? Come out from amongst them and be ye separate. Come out from amongst them and be ye separate. Wow. Come out from amongst what? Who? Anything. Anyone that defiles the name of God. Well, you say, that's probably everybody. Then you better start repenting, because you are in that 80%. How do you know for sure you're saved? See and recognize God working in your life. Do you see that? God working in your life? Ooh, I remember I was a janitor for years. I used to party, go to movies, talk to drunks, but not for a God-given reason. Huh? Bottom line, you as a Christian are responsible for your actions. Yes. Anything that is contrary to the Word of God, come out. Come out. How can light have fellowship with darkness? Ever get invited to a party where you are the only real Christian, which you finally find out once you get there? Will you compromise in order to keep the flow of the party going, or will you dismiss yourself? One drink? One joke? One off-color story? Can you handle that with God looking upon you? Oh, if we don't want to obey God, we can make excuses for anything we do. For example, you go to a Maple Leafs hockey game. Seems pretty innocent, right? That is until you hear some drunk or excited fan blaspheme your Savior. What do you do? Tell them to shut up? Or do you just get up and leave? Not having gotten your money's worth, of course. You might have been better off watching on TV from home. Golfing, I love golf. But as hard as I look, I cannot find a Christian golf club. I'm not talking about the ones in my bag either. They're not allowed. So, what do you do? Stay home? Go only to the driving range? Give up golf? Wow. Well, since I don't think any of those is fair, really, what I do is try to find someone of like precious faith to play golf with. Barring that, I'll play by myself, or else not play at all. If I end up playing with a guy, though, who blasphemes the Lord, I simply and politely ask him to stop. And if he doesn't, I'm out of there. I'm gone. I'm history. On the other hand, if he never swore to begin with, then I'll witness to him. But have you ever tried to witness to someone at a rock concert or a hyper sports event? It doesn't work. It doesn't work. You get in their face, and you drive them even further away. Further away. Or is it farther away? Take your pick. I have an old golfing buddy back home. I don't think he likes to lose now. We're both Christians, born again, went to the same church. Now, imagine this picture. We basically began our golfing careers about the same time in life. Just a couple of old duffers. Well, not old duffers. Just a couple of duffers. Wanting to outdo
Tiger Woods, yeah.
We love the fresh air, the sunshine, the exercise, the camaraderie. In the beginning, we usually took turns whining. Did I say whining? Well, one whined, while the other won. We actually took turns in winning, okay? But the main thing is, it was fun. It was fun. Tiger Woods, eat your heart out. You know, there's so many things you can do to enjoy life. And they don't necessarily have to include sports. Do you know something? When my buddy got too serious, he had to excel. You know, he had to win. A lot of the fun really disappeared. I doubt I could even beat him now. But more importantly, I doubt that I would want to beat him. Do you get my point? Do you? Got another friend. We don't talk about the Lord much. Seems like when we do, we have a hard time agreeing on the scriptures. Problem is, I use the King James, and he uses the NIV. And they're not the same. They're not the same, believe me. Man, oh man, if you want confusion, if you want arguments, then you go and use two different Bibles. When my wife and I first moved out of our present location, we were looking for a good Baptist church to attend. It wasn't always that easy. What we thought was, turned out that it was not. Finally, we settled into a small congregation in a small Baptist independent church, has only King James, and we loved it. We loved it. We got along just fine. Yes, we did. You know, whenever I see drums in a church, it makes me nervous, but it sure draws a heavy youth group, said the spider to the fly. I can't say for sure, but when I opened my King James Bible, the pastor opened his Bible, things, they didn't match up in that big, big, whatever church, but in the small church, they all come together. Talk about confusion. My Bible tells me that God is not the author of confusion. Something else that didn't match up was their faith and their walk. You know, I just love preaching about the King James Bible. I loved talking about things that a lot of people don't want to end up talking about, like, you know, why don't you like this? Why don't you like that? How come you don't go here? How come you don't go here? Well, I got a lot more to tell you, but it's going to take another sermon, okay? So I want to thank you for listening this week to this very special message that God laid on my heart, Olympians for Christ. And I ask you to tune in again next week, the same time, will you? For part two of Olympians for Christ. God bless you. Amen. Amen.